It's a done deal. Marquette has a new basketball coach, and we are here to talk about it here on Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Joe McCann, Phil Bush with you. As I'm sure you all know by now, Steve Wojciechowski, Wojo for short, of course, is now the new head coach at Marquette, succeeding Buzz Williams. And Phil, first thing I want to say, first of all, welcome to Coach Wojo to Marquette. And thank goodness it's April, because I was sick of that March.
Yeah, March was awful. Welcome to Co-Wojo, as some people around these here parts are saying. I think Wojo's bad enough. We don't need to shorten Coach too. But yes, thank God the calendar flipped, and on the six-year anniversary of a certain used car salesman bolting the Marquette program, we have a Dookie on board.
And I am okay with it. We're going to debate in this podcast whether you like the hire, whether you hate the hire, pros and cons of Steve Wojciechowski coming on board at Marquette, what it may mean for the team going forward. But I would like to say that I do think we can go on record saying that was the worst March in Marquette basketball history.
I think
when you break it down, okay, they had four games that were all must-win, lost them all.
Right, missed and in double overtime for two of them.
Double overtime in two of them, missed the NIT. Buzz leaves, a coach that was very loved at the time, left for a crap job in the ACC. We had the whole done deal fiasco that just embarrassed Marquette fans and Milwaukee reporters everywhere. I'm not going to break it down in this podcast, but the end of it was an embarrassing couple days for Marquette and people who follow it. And then finally we had to all sit back in our chairs and watch Wisconsin win two games in Milwaukee and parlay that into a Final Four. Come on.
Yeah. I quite frankly, at this point, I'm not sure what was the worst part, but it's kind of like, you know, trying to choose between whether you're brain dead or dead. there's no good choices here.
Yeah. Didn't research it, but if there was some other March in Marquette history where they lost every single game, didn't get postseason, lost a coach that they really liked and had Wisconsin go to the Final Four, I just don't think that's happened.
No, I don't think
so. And hopefully it never happens again.
So does this mean with the turning of the calendar that we can expect, from a Marquette perspective, positive things Saturday night in the Final Four?
Well, let's not go that far.
Oh, well, here's to hoping.
Wisconsin looks dang good. I hate to say it, but let's be real. They've played well.
And, yes.
But go Wildcats. But moving on to the task at hand, Steve Wojciechowski is now the coach of Marquette. Phil, what did you think about the hire? I'm kind of excited about it. Of course, there's reservations. I think all the candidates out there maybe had their pros and cons, obviously. But overall, I think I'm pretty happy with the hire. How about you?
Well, as you and I are wont to do, we texted offstage, if you will, regarding this, and I will say my opinion has shifted somewhat from initially. For my initial reaction was I wasn't thrilled, but the more and more I've gotten to think about it, I'm not 100% sold. He's done well in the press conference and he's done well on Milwaukee radio and he said all the right things, but we've had two coaches previous to him say all the right things at the time. But you know, I think part of the I wasn't super excited, but now that I kind of see past the what I'll call the Shaka haze, I think it's probably a pretty solid hire. We'll see what he can do with a team of his own.
Yeah, for those of you not familiar with Wojciechowski's resume, just briefly, of course, you know, people our age, Phil, definitely remember him very well from his playing days at Duke. You know, he was a great defensive player, and he ran Mike Krzyzewski's offense as well as any point guard he's ever had, maybe outside of Bobby Hurley. He was as beloved as any player at Duke who didn't play in the NBA.
Beloved by Duke and hated by a lot of other fan bases.
And that's fair to say. To be honest, though, isn't every good Duke player hated?
Well, I think every Duke player is hated.
Yeah, like, I think maybe the only Duke player who wasn't hated nationally maybe was Grant Hill.
The only Duke player that's transcended that is Jay Billis now.
Yeah, he's parlayed. The thing is, if you watch him on ESPN, you wouldn't even know he went to Duke.
That's true.
But more on Wojciechowski. Of course, he played 4 years under Coach K, and then he played 1 year professionally overseas, and then he came right back and was an assistant.
In Poland, right?
He did.
That's not at all ironic.
Maybe his last name got him some connections over there, but he did play 1 year professionally and then went right back to coaching. And people who followed him as a player even said, yeah, he doesn't have a pro future, but he was born to coach. He just has that mentality of him. They were saying that about him when he was 22 years old. Came back, he was an assistant, and he's worked his way up, all the way up. You know, he's been promoted to, he was associate head coach under Krzyzewski the last few years. And people were even wondering if Coach K retired in the next year or two, if he would get the job. I don't know about that. But that's how highly regarded he was in the Duke community. And, of course, in addition to coaching under Krzyzewski at Duke, he has coached with Krzyzewski for Team USA. That's where he has coached guys like Dwayne Wade, of course, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Kobe Bryant, guys like that. So, I mean, he has coached and recruited at the highest level, and now he brings that to Marquette. And that's one thing, and, you know, on his coaching career, granted, this is more on Coach K's resume than Wojciechowski's, but the fact remains, he has been an assistant under two national championship teams and four Final Four teams, and they have made the tournament every year that he's been there. Granted, again, that's under more of Coach K, but the fact is, he's been a part of a lot of winning since he's been at Duke. And no matter what you say about Duke, what you think about Duke, if you hate the program, if you just can't stand the Cameron crazies, you cannot deny that is one hell of a program.
Oh, and absolutely.
I think every program nationwide would love to be like that, you know, aside from North Carolina and places like that that will say, you know, we're our own thing. We're better than Duke.
Right. Well, let's be honest. You don't engender all the hatred that there is for Duke if you're not a successful program.
Exactly. You don't hate teams that stink.
Right.
Teams like the Yankees and St. Louis Cardinals and Dallas Cowboys, they're hated because they kept winning trophies. And that's why people hate him so much. You don't, you know, you don't hate teams that finish in last place every year. Nobody nationally hates the LA Clippers.
Right.
But but back to Wojciechowski is, you know, one of the things I'm excited about is, you know, the connections he's made as far as, one, coaching under Krzyzewski and learning under one of the best coaches in college basketball history, and also recruiting at the highest level. Now, naysayers will say, you know, yeah, but he's been at Duke. How hard is it to recruit at Duke? Well, it's not like he just goes up to a top 10 recruit, leaves his business card, and waits for a call. I mean, he's competing with Kentucky and Louisville and Kansas and Michigan State and Florida for all these kids. And so he is recruiting and competing on that level, in that world, at the highest level. Now, does that mean he's going to start bringing top 10 recruits to Marquette every year? No, not necessarily, but he's going to try. And he has all those connections that he's made through high school coaches and AAU coaches. And, you know, he's been recruiting for Duke for 15 years now. So all these coaches that he's gone out and met, and parents and, you know, people around the country, they all know who he is, and he's all very well respected in the recruiting community. And David Kamichik actually wrote a good report from the McDonald's All-American game, where he talked to some of the McDonald's All-Americans who were recruited by Wojciechowski and were a little bummed that he was leaving. Now, none of them are leaving Duke because of it,
right?
But they were all looking forward to it. Guys like Jahlil Okafor, who's in Chicago, Tyus Jones, who's from Minnesota, Justice Winslow, who's from Houston. He talked to a lot of those guys, and they all spoke very highly of him, and how, you know, they really got to like him and really got to know him in the recruiting process. So I'm very interested to see what kind of players he is going to be able to recruit to Marquette. And I'm sure it's going to start with Diamond Stone, who's right up the road at Dominican.
Yeah, well, I think, and this is where I think I have one of the issues where I'm perhaps a little bit different in opinion than you are, and perhaps a little bit leery. I agree. I mean, you know, the Duke has cachet, obviously, that helps, but you're also competing against other teams that have cachet, like you said. But I'm stuttering a lot because I'm trying to articulate it well.
It's very hard to do.
Which is not my strong suit if anyone's listened to any of these podcasts ever. I think the issue is that Duke recruits in such a high level that, you know, they don't necessarily have to hustle like the tier below does. You know,
right.
The Marquettes and the Wisconsins and the generally the Big East teams and you know, some of the mid to lower level ACC teams, they're volume recruiters, right? They're going out and they're grabbing 20, 30, 40 different recruits, trying to build relationships with them, trying to get them. It's a different style of recruiting, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's a very valid point, because, you know, one thing Buzz excelled at was finding diamonds in the rough.
Right.
Finding Jay Crowder and Jimmy Butler and Devontae Gardner and getting those guys into the program. And like Wojciechowski and guys at Duke, they really don't need diamonds in the rough, because if you miss on the five-star guy, well, you just bring in the four-star guy who's been waiting for your call.
Right. And I think it's going to be a little bit different when you're putting together a team, because, again, at Duke, you're kind of, you know, not literally, but you're kind of picking from the pick of the litter. So the players are all relatively finished product, if you will. There aren't any gaps. They're kind of the best of the best. Whereas, and I think you kind of saw it in some of what Buzz ran into this year, where you get, you know, when you're at the Marquette level, and again, I'm not disparaging Marquette, but we got to be realistic
about
this.
Yeah, I mean, let's know our place in the world.
Right, and so you've got Marquette's going to have to get recruits that maybe they have one elite skill instead of two or three. You know, maybe they're a solid defender, but not that great on offense. So, you know, you're going to have to recruit players that have the pieces that fit together as a team, and then you're going to have to develop the other things, which, I mean, obviously you got to develop talented Duke to stay ahead and, you know, and all that stuff. But I do think that when it comes to recruiting and putting together pieces of a team, it's a different game. That's not to say that Wojciechowski can't do it, just simply saying that it's different than he's used to. So we don't necessarily have evidence that says absolutely it's a surefire guarantee.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I agree with everything you said there, because he does need to – it's a different type of recruiting, especially because he is the face of the program now. Like in the past, he's always been saying, come play for me and Coach Krzyzewski.
Right.
And by the way, hey, here's Mike Krzyzewski.
Right.
And now he has to convince guys, you have to play for me. And that's going to be a different approach. And the fact that he doesn't have head coaching experience, sure, it's going to hurt him initially, but he does have that reputation and he is well respected. And, you know, guys like, you know, honestly, a great example is Tom Crean. He hit the ground running recruiting and he did very well. And he pretty much got the best player in the state of Wisconsin every year, almost,
right,
while he was there. You know, he missed on a cut. I think Brian Butch was and maybe Jerry Smith were the only two that he didn't get. But he got Diener and he got Scott Merritt and Novak and Wesley Matthews. And the list go on and on. But, yeah, he does have to get out there and, you know, but and I believe he will. I think he has good energy as a coach, and I think he has great energy as a recruiter. And, reading what some of the recruits were saying about him, you know, it was positive reviews, and so I'm anxious to see what he does there. Now, I think another concern that probably people have that I feel is worth at least bringing up is, you know, is Wojciechowski just looking at this as a stepping stone to get back to Duke? And I think that's a legitimate question because, you know, it's interesting that Wojciechowski's name came up for the Marquette job just a few days after Krzyzewski said, I'm going to coach at Duke for probably five more years.
Right.
You know, up until then, you really hadn't heard Wojciechowski's name out there for any jobs,
right?
Much less Marquette's. And then all of a sudden, you know, Krzyzewski said that, and a couple days later, you know, Wojciechowski is a legitimate candidate, and then boom, a couple days later, he's the coach. Now, you know, maybe he is, and, you know, maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing, but then again, he's not going to be necessarily going to be a lock to get the Duke job whenever Kay retires.
Well, the Coach K tree is fairly extensive, so...
Yeah, the Coach K tree is extensive, but it hasn't been enormously successful.
Which, I mean, being honest, is part of the concern around Wojciechowski as well.
Sure, like, if you were to, like, off the top of my head, you know, obviously, I guess probably the best one going right now would probably be Tommy Amaker at Harvard. You know, it's, you know, winning in the Ivy League and getting a couple tournament wins, but then you got Johnny Dawkins, who's done all right at Stanford. He had a big win in the tournament this year, but, you know, he hasn't dominating out there just yet, but I think he's doing a pretty good job and he's growing the program. Jeff Capel had a couple good years at Oklahoma that were Blake Griffin driven, and then he got canned after the Griffins left. Mike Bray had a couple good years at Notre Dame, had a rough year this year in the ACC. Who knows what his resume is going to look like in a few years. And there's probably Collins.
Yeah, Chris Collins.
Now, he just got started, so it's a little early to evaluate him as a coach, but he's well-liked and well-respected. You know, in 5 years he's got Northwestern in the upper tier of the Big Ten, then I think he would be in the mix for the Duke job. But I'm going to certainly take Wojciechowski at his word, because he was asked that question at the press conference,
yep.
And it's a great question to ask. You know, people say, why do you got to ask that question now? But it really is an important question, and I think he handled it well. And I'm paraphrasing here, but basically kind of what he said was, you know, I wouldn't have uprooted and left a place I love to come somewhere that I wasn't happy with, and a place that I wouldn't be happy living, and a place I couldn't see myself staying for a while.
Right.
And I'm definitely taking Wojciechowski at his word that, you know, he's at Marquette. He's a Golden Eagle now. He's committed to Marquette, and he's going to do the best job he possibly can from right now until his last day, whenever that is. And so I just hope he is. But sure, you know, there is a chance that if he wins at Marquette and does really well, when Coach K retires, Duke's going to call.
And let's be honest. I mean, if he goes back to – this is kind of – and this is another one of these things that initially – you know, I was concerned about, you know, oh great, we've got a stepping stone reputation yet again. But the more and more I think about it, I guess you can view it. There's two positive aspects. I mean, yeah, he could be gone in a couple of years if K retires and he wins the job. But if Wojciechowski wins the Duke job, it's because he earned the job at Marquette.
Right. Yeah. Like if he's the head coach at Duke in 5 years hypothetically. That means Marquette has had a lot of success because they're not going to name him the head coach if he's 500 and going to the NIT every year.
Right.
You know, he's going to have to win a lot because there will be competition for that job. And, you know, it doesn't even necessarily mean Duke might not even hire a former assistant. They may hire Shaka Smart for all
right. I was just going to say maybe Shaka Smart's waiting for the Duke phone call.
He might be. He's got to be waiting for something because he's turned down plenty of jobs over the last few years.
Yeah, he talks to a lot of folks.
You know, just one quick note on that. You know, I work with a guy who's a VCU alum, and what he told me, you know, just from what he understands, like, Shaka Smart likes to have his name out there for one job every year and just let it grow for 24 hours just because it boosts his own profile.
Yeah.
And boosts the school's profile.
That.
And I honestly believe it because his name is out there big for one job at least every year. And it's like, and he just kind of lets it sit there for a day and like, nope, not going. But anyway, back to
and the other aspect of the Woj joke, because I also want to comment on the Shock thing at some point, Shaka's thing right. at some point. But the other aspect of the Wojciechowski thing is if he does go to Duke, you know, he earned it here. But the other thing is the positive is he only has ties to Duke other than Marquette. So you know what I mean? It's not like. If Case,
it's not going to be like Buzz, whose like name came up for every single job everywhere every
right,
year.
Right. So at some point, if Duke moves on and Coach K, Coach K retires and somebody other than Wojciechowski takes over the job, okay, could you see Wojciechowski going to UCLA or well, I would never think North Carolina.
That would probably be the one. Boy, that would be the most awkward thing ever.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Like, that would never happen, of course.
That would never happen. But, you know, going to an Indiana, I suppose, or, you know, or if he's going to go to a Blue Blood if Duke's not available. But if Duke's available, I think it's pretty safe to say if Coach K is in the seat at Duke, Wojciechowski is staying at Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, maybe from that perspective.
As long as he's happy, yeah. You know, yeah. As long as he's, you know, supported by, you know, he's got great support from the administration and the fans and he's enjoying his time in Milwaukee. I mean, I'm going to take him at his word that he says he's excited and he's looking forward to living there and he's going to give everything he's got to Marquette. So, you know, I'm not going to anoint him a saint or anything and like, you know.
Right.
But, you know, and just like I think the way some people did with Buzz. Is
yeah,
just put him on such a pedestal that it's like this guy loves us forever and he's never going to leave. But I'm not going to put him that high up there. But I'm going to trust that he's going to give Marquette everything he has and he's going to do everything he can to leave the program in better shape than he found it. And that's really all you can ask. And regarding the whole stepping stone thing, isn't just about every job, say from like 5 to 10, a stepping stone in some form or another? Because like very few programs nationwide keep coaches for like 7 to 10 years. There's a you know they move at different rates, of course, but there's just so much turnover everywhere else. Like there are maybe, you know, 5 to 10 elite jobs that once a coach gets it, he never leaves. You know, he would never leave for another job, like Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State, you know, Indiana, UCLA, Syracuse, maybe. But you know,
well, but I mean, it's tough to say because if you look at Ohio State, how long has Thad Matta been there? Look at Wisconsin, how long has Bo Ryan been there? I mean, you can say these are kind of extraordinary, but you know, I think there's a decent number of programs that are not necessarily the highest of the high that have coaches stay, you know, a fair amount of time. Now, what's a fair amount of time? I mean, Buzz stayed 6, Crean stayed what? 7 or 8? Yeah, it was eight seasons. You know, so I don't know. It's tough to say, you know, stepping stone or not. But again, if those years are successful, then you know, you bring in fresh talent. I think the problem the Marquette fan base has, if you think from a stepping stone perspective, is because no coach really ever has roots, there's never a quote-unquote known successor. You know, like take Duke, for example. Now, that's a bit of an extreme example, but Coach K, there's a veritable, if they stay within the tree, there's 6-7 coaches out there that are established head coaches that could potentially earn that position.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's not like...
We don't have a hot assistant that was, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons Dwayne Stevens showed up in some of the forecasts, because he's a Michigan State assistant right now under Izzo, sure. And he was an assistant under Crean for the final 4 years at Marquette. You know, so that's the closest thing Marquette has, or Brian Wardle. I mean, Brian Wardle's obviously an MU grad, and he's a head coach. Those are the two closest things to some sort of,
right,
you know,
yeah, that's a good point. Like, all those programs have a list of guys that say, well, if our guy leaves or our guy retires, here's 5 or 6 guys that would definitely take the job and we would be absolutely happy with. When somebody leaves Marquette, it's like, oh, man, what's next?
Right.
You know, where are we going?
I mean, Crean was totally different from Buzz, who's totally different from Wojciechowski, and that's probably a good thing. But, you know, all these coaches are different. They're coming from different spots. So it's always kind of this panic, okay, what the heck are we going to get? Which is why I think the mania for Shaka Smart was so... And this is a larger point I want to make about Wojciechowski. The mania for Shaka Smart was so intense just because, I guess, for everyone, it made the most logical sense. Or it was kind of... Shaka Smart has his flaws. You know, I'm not going to say he's the perfect candidate. But
he was close in a lot of people's minds.
Right, exactly. There was nothing that anyone would say that would go, oh, what about this? And people would say, oh, yeah, that's a red flag. He seemed like the most no-brainer if Marquette could get him. Obviously, contrary to what IWB had to say, it was not a done deal, and it was not a contract that was signed or whatever. But and that's part of the larger point. That was kind of the no brainer. And then once everyone got excited for Shaka, and then it didn't happen, then you're looking at candidates that may inherently not be that flawed compared to Shaka Smart. But everyone was so excited for it that they just kind of went, oh man, if it's not Shaka, everybody else is like 6 tiers below.
Yeah, it was, and I think. Talk about putting people on a pedestal. People like had their hearts set on Shaka Smart when that news broke, or I guess it wasn't news, that rumor broke.
Well, yeah,
but it's something definitely story. Broke. Something definitely broke, and I will defend. You know, like a lot of some of those guys in Wisconsin that you know I don't know them at all really, but I've met a few of them, like guys like Tom Pippen and Lance Allen and. Needles, you know, I've met them briefly, and you know they know what they're doing. And somebody told all these guys that it was close and that it was imminent. So whoever that person was or these people were, there was somebody just feeding people bad information. Now, obviously, when a reporter runs with it, it's on him. But still, but to your point, yeah. Once the Shaka deal didn't happen, there was just such a letdown. Like people were like, dang it. You know, I thought we had the perfect candidate, the guy that everyone's going to love and is, you know, all the players would probably be really excited about and all the fans would be really excited about. It's the guy that no one's able to get every single year, and we finally got him. But I think once you come down from that and, you know, just kind of let it go and just don't put him up on that much of a pedestal like he's automatically going to win national titles and take the team to the Final Four every year, I think you can look at Wojciechowski's resume and just be open to it and just trust that he's going to give it his best shot. And I think that he has the pedigree. He's trained under Krzyzewski for 15 years. I think he's going to be ready and give it his best. And, you know, Crean didn't have any head coaching experience when he came in. Worked out just fine. Buzz had 1 year of head coaching experience, and that was
terrible head coaching experience.
Yeah, a terrible experience at New Orleans, and he was basically a lifelong assistant when he got the job. That also worked out just fine. Say what you want about the way those guys left, they won, they did the program justice, they did well, and you just got to be a little patient and just trust that Wojciechowski is going to get this thing going where it's supposed to.
Well, and I guess you could make the argument, and again, this wouldn't necessarily, but again, I'm being as positive as possible. The other thing you can make the argument is, yeah, we went the assistant route again, and it was kind of a, you know, an unknown scenario where we were going. Of the assistant coaches that Marquette has hired, of Crean, Buzz and Wojciechowski. Wojciechowski is the most qualified of the three.
He has the longest resume.
I mean, especially and to be honest, this was ignorance on my part. I kind of forgot his association with Team USA basketball, and the fact that he was an associate head coach at Duke. You don't do either of those things if you're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people say, well, you know, Wojciechowski, what did he do at Duke? He didn't just stand there and watch. I promise you that.
Right. He's not Coach K sitting there going, I got this. I just need a figurehead for an assistant.
He was not a 15-year charity case on the behalf of Coach Krzyzewski. If he was only there 1 or 2 years, maybe you could say that. He's been there 15 years, like since I was in high school almost.
Right.
He's been there that long. So he's been there quite a while. And from what I understand, in practice, Coach K is a little more hands-off these days.
Yeah.
And it's assistants that run the practices and run the drills. So, you know, Wojciechowski has been like a head coach at times.
Right.
Including at halftime. And what the joke that he made about Coach K at the presser, he said, first thing I said when I called Coach K, I asked him if he wanted to come be my associate head coach and do halftime interviews for me.
Right.
Which is what he does that for Coach K. Like he did he does a lot of the halftime interviews for Duke games the past few years.
Well, it's kind of one of these things where you kind of go, clearly, you know, based on the press conference that Wojciechowski gave, Coach K was blessing this. So, I mean, you know, whether...
Of course he was.
Well, but I mean, like, so K's been grooming him to be a head coach, and you would think that this is just the right fit. And, I mean, the other thing is that Duke is a private private university, fundraising. Basketball is the focus of all they do. You know, so he's walking into Marquette with some experience in that arena. I think the big thing that's going to really tell the tale is the next month or two is whether he can keep the current players on the roster. And we can touch on that. There's, you know, news to yesterday and today regarding that.
Yeah, that's what I want to get to next.
Yeah, and the other piece, the bigger piece for me is, can he retain 2, 3, 4 of the incoming recruits without losing them? I mean, the two big ones for me are Sandy Cohen and Ahmed Hill. If he can keep both of those players, I'd love to bring all of them in, but if he can keep those two, the program's in okay shape.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's kind of the next thing I want to talk about is, you know, where do we go from here? I think we've kind of broken down our feelings on it because I think we've broken down a coach as much as we can before he ever coaches again.
Right. We have no idea what he can do, but we've...
I guess the last thing I do want to say is, you know, I guess this is just an easy thing to say at the press conference, that he wants to play a fast style.
I like it. It's better than we had this past season.
Yeah. I like... Marquette fans love the up-tempo game. You know, they can't stand the four corners offense.
Right.
Hopefully they will play fast and play aggressive on defense. So I'm looking forward to that. But let's talk about what his next challenge is. And obviously the obvious ones are building a staff and then retaining current players and then recruits. Let's talk about the current players first. And first of all, some interesting comments coming from some of the current players at the press conference for Wojciechowski. First of all, it appears they're all coming back. And barring any surprises over the next few days here, they all seem to indicate, and I'm getting a lot of these quotes and stuff from either Paint Touches or MUTV, but a lot of them said, yeah, I'm coming back. And, you know, Juwan Johnson tweeted tonight, I'm all in.
Right.
Now, most people interpret that to mean it's Marquette, but for all we know, it could have mean a trip to Qdoba. So we don't know necessarily
He got the blue plate special at Red Chili.
Yeah, it could have meant... People tend to, you know, interpret kids' tweets way, way too much. Don't read too much into it, but he tweeted that, and people interpret it means he's coming back. But Juwan did tell Paint Touches the previous day, I'm most likely coming back. He said, I'm just going to talk it over with my mom and talk to Coach Wojo and see what's best for me. But back to some of the comments from some of the current players, the returning players, Phil, especially Steve Taylor, Juwan, and Todd Mayo, they definitely had some things that made you wonder if, you know, the team was really falling apart this past season.
Yeah, it was kind of, especially Steve Taylor, there was a... There was a full, you know, there was both barrels blasting away there. I think the interesting one was Todd because, you know, Todd even admitted it yesterday in his discussions that he and Buzz have a tight relationship, even going as far, and again, I'm paraphrasing, as far as to say Buzz is going to be one of those guys I talk to for the rest of my life. But then in another kind of statement said, you know, Buzz leaving was kind of the change we needed. Okay. So,
yeah. I guess you could just tell when a relationship grows sour, you know, whether, you know, we've experienced things like that, whether it's personal relationships or business relationships, you get to a point where it's like, man, this is not working.
Right.
And I think, you know, what we said in our last podcast, it was a little bit speculation on my part, but I think it really is true that Buzz did quit on this team, that he had one foot out the door. And I think it shows by maybe some of the way some of the players were talking and the fact that he took a crap job in the ACC. And I think that's the most disappointing thing for me about Buzz leaving, is that he didn't give this team everything he had, in my opinion, at the very end. Yeah. And some of the reactions from some of the players tell me that I don't think he was listening to them, and he was more of a dictatorship. I guess maybe that's the way it should be sometimes with a team, but the thing Steve Taylor said about, I'm healthy, you've run me all day at practice, ran me 2.5 hours at practice, but you won't let me play a minute in the game. What is going on?
Yeah, well, conspiracy theory alert, but, you know, to your point about having one foot out the door, I really do wonder if Buzz didn't, you know, and I'll be the first to admit, I went on record kind of defending his player substitutions, and I saw some logic to it. Maybe in hindsight, the logic was that I was believing in was flawed. But I don't wonder if Buzz didn't double down on the seniors and the players he thought he could win with now, to try and kind of essentially audition for a job that would be open, to the detriment of some of the younger players that could have, you know, maybe later in that season, he could have kind of said, all right, let's get some minutes for the younger players, get them prepped for next year. Yep. This season may not be working. And instead, he kind of doubled down on the old horses, thinking that would, you know, so he kind of, I guess the short way to say this is he took the short-term approach instead of the long-term vision, because he was convinced he was going out the door. So what did he care if he got Juwan Johnson minutes so he could contribute next year?
Yeah, and from just kind of reading what some of the guys like Michael Hunt and the guys at Paint Touches were saying, it sounded like Steve Taylor and Juwan were as good as gone.
Yeah.
If Buzz had stayed. But now it appears, at least as we're recording this podcast on Wednesday night, that they're both coming back. And it looks like every player is coming back. And but yeah, like the thing that just baffled me is, like, he really didn't give many of the freshmen a shot last year. And,
right.
You know, he gave them shots in spurts, but in the end it wasn't enough. And the last game, when he benched Deontay Burton for the last 7 minutes when he was having the game of his life, was just, I was just kind of done with him at that point. I just couldn't understand it.
Well, and Paint Touches, I think, just as an example, Paint Touches at the end of the season does a player-by-player review, and they always do a fantastic job. And the one they wrote on Burton was, you know, again, statistics. As an engineer, I'm all about statistics, but, you know, sometimes they can be misleading.
Was that on Paint Touches or Anonymous Eagle, by the way? Because they've both been doing it.
I meant Anonymous Eagle. Did I say Paint Touches?
You did. We just want to give credit where it's due.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anonymous Eagle.
No, it was Anonymous Eagle that did, and he was talking about the statistics around Burton, and that, you know, if he even got 5 or 6 minutes more, he would have been a top 200 player as a freshman. And so basically the insinuation was that Buzz was wildly underutilizing Burton, which from a eye test standpoint, yeah, you could make that argument, certainly.
From an eye test, absolutely.
Right, you know, and the statistics seem to back it up. So if Burton wasn't even getting the minutes he deserved, what does that say about, you know, what does that say about everybody else in general?
Yeah, my last gripe with Buzz is that I know defense wins championships, but I think he liked defense a little too much.
Yeah.
And that was my issue. Hopefully Coach Wojo finds a happy balance, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do with the current roster as far as opening up starting spots and making everybody compete for their spots and see who ends up playing more minutes next year. But as we're recording right now, it seems like all the current guys are coming back. The bigger question, though, Phil, of course, is these incoming recruits. And you touched on it a little bit there. I just want to, you know, just to rehash who the current commits are. The ones who are currently signed are Ahmad Hill, who is from the guard from Georgia, Sandy Cohen, who is a wingman from Green Bay, and then Mariel Shayok, who is another wing player who is from the New York area, and then Satchel Paige-Pierce, who is a big man from Pittsburgh, and then there's the verbal commit of Malik Harris, who is another forward, guard forward from the Chicago area. Now, all those guys' statuses are up in the air, but because Marquette did not release any of those guys from their letters of intent, and that was kind of their policy. They weren't going to release any of them until they met the coach, and then if they still want out, then they will be released. Some early indications, it appears that Shayok does want out.
Yep, I mean, I've seen rumors to the effect of he wants to go to Virginia Tech.
Yeah, he has requested he wants out, and I'm sure he's going to meet with Wojciechowski. It may just be a formality that he's going to leave. Sandy Cohen has requested out. Now, the last I saw of him, that was before Wojciechowski was hired.
There was some confusion there for a while, and I think it's the same at a lot of schools, but Marquette has the policy, you're not released from your letter until you essentially give us the chance to re-recruit you with the new coach.
Right.
And so Cohen,
I think that's fair.
I think it's totally fair,
it's not like you're sabotaging the kid, because the spring signing period isn't for another few weeks. So I think the whole national letter of intent thing can be a little unfair to the kids at time, but
That's a whole other debate for a whole other podcast. But there was some confusion, and Sandy Cohen said on his Twitter that he's been released by Marquette, which forced Marquette to kind of say, Sandy, no, that's not correct. So, and that got straightened out. So I haven't seen anything more.
Yeah, he may still leave, but I'm sure but the thing is, he is going to meet, as all these kids are, with Wojciechowski. I have seen no news on him.
None.
He hasn't tweeted anything. He hasn't. I haven't seen any articles or anything about what he's thinking. As you said earlier, Phil, I completely agree. If he only keeps one guy in this class, Hill's the guy you want to keep.
Well, and I will say this, in the case of news or no news, the fact that there's been almost complete radio silence on Hill, I think is a positive for Marquette. Now, that's not a prediction that he stays, but if he was thinking about going, there would definitely be kind of rumors to that effect.
Right, yeah. And Paint Touches did say they had heard that if Satchel Pierce is released, that he is going to go to Virginia Tech. So that would be tough, because then Marquette loses its backup big man for next year.
Yeah, well, and Marquette would have no big man until late December when Luke Fisher would become eligible.
Right, and you're putting a lot on him, because, he either has to play a lot of minutes and he can't get hurt at all. So, the center position is going to be real tough for Wojciechowski. And I'm sure, once he gets the recruiting situation squared away, he may look to, if there's any graduate transfers he can bring in. Or
there was a kid from Temple that was looking around, a power forward that might get, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Lee.
Yeah, Lee.
Last name? Yeah, I forget his first name, but yeah, there is a kid. But I think he's actually narrowed his list already, and Marquette isn't on it. But yeah, there is a ton of, there's over 100 transfers out there.
Well, and
I'm sure it's only going to grow.
And there may be yet some coaching movement. I mean, for all we know, the Wake Forest job is unfilled. There's a couple other jobs that are not filled yet, and they may, be filled by coaches that have existing recruiting classes, and those recruits decide to transfer. And so, it's not going to be ideal, but there's players that leave from the Marquette recruiting class may or may not be replaced by equal or better talent.
Yeah,
but there's some opportunities there. I said, the big thing is Cohen and Hill, and then probably Pierce third. Those are kind of the priorities I would have.
Yeah, I think the interesting one is Harris, who is not signed, so he's free to do whatever he wants right now.
Right.
At the time, before Buzz left, I thought it was an ideal situation for both sides, because he can go wherever he wants if the Buzz decided that relationship wasn't going to work out. But maybe now, maybe it's a little bit disadvantaged to Marquette, because he can commit to, he's not obligated to do anything to Marquette right now, because it's just a verbal. But I'm curious what his options are, considering he missed his entire senior year with whatever that violation was that he committed at his high school, whatever the rule
was. Well, you'd have to think, if he's not going to Marquette, he's probably going to Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the – yeah, it probably is one or the other. Well, and, those and are some I think situations that I'll have to shake out.
Well, and I think the other thing that, people – and I don't know. I haven't been on Twitter today, shockingly, and I don't know if people are upset about it or not, but I did hear somebody mention, well, why would they – why would Marquette let these players go to Virginia Tech? And I think the thing to keep in mind is you don't want to kind of ignite the Cold War. If you start restricting what players – where players can go, there's no good PR that comes from that. You just chalk it up to, well, that's the way these things go and move on.
Just let it go. If the kid wants to go to Virginia Tech, let him go. But I think Wojciechowski hopefully can do at least his best sales job in talking to those five kids. Hopefully he gets one or two to stick around, and then maybe he fills in the rest of the pieces with transfers or junior college players or just stashes those scholarships for next year. So yeah, we'll see. And I'm confident that he's going to give it his best effort, and hopefully he'll be able to keep a few guys around for next year. So
yeah, we'll see. And you know, it's going to be interesting, especially if he can keep Hill and Cohen and maybe Satchel Pierce. When you look on the roster again on paper and based on the roughly 2.5 seconds worth of data we have around what Wojciechowski is going to do as a coach, I mean, there's reason for optimism. I mean, it's a fresh start. There's a lot of athleticism and a lot of speed on the team. You know, maybe next year is perhaps a surprising one where he's able to put together, you know, kind of an up-tempo team that can do some things, and that buys him time to start to bring in more and more of his own recruits over the next couple of years. I mean, that's the thing with coaching changes, why people get all up in arms. It's you know, it's really uncertain, but there is cause for some optimism.
Oh, absolutely. Marquette has talented players coming back. It's just, you know, Wojciechowski's challenge is to get the most out of them, and hopefully, like I said, fill in the pieces on the with the incoming guys, with the freshmen or transfers or whatever he's going to get, to make sure there's enough, you know, guys to have competitive practices, and hopefully he can fill out that front court a little better, because it is looking a little thin right now.
Yeah, so. if only we had Lazar to play center again.
If only. I wish. One thing I do want to certainly at least touch on briefly before we get out of here is another welcome we should extend is to Marquette's new president. They have hired a president.
Yes.
As I'm sure as you all know by now, but it is Dr. Michael Lovell, who was a chancellor at UWM. He is the first layperson to be the president at Marquette University in the history of the school. And happy to see, I don't know how to break down a presidential hire, but I'm happy to have him on board.
Well, listen, we're no more qualified to break down university presidents than we are to break down basketball, so.
Yeah, even less so.
But, yeah, even less so.
He was unanimously selected by the Board of Trustees, so that's good enough for me. Happy to have him on board. He seems very excited about building Marquette academically and athletically.
Yeah, everything I've seen or heard, and I know a fair number of people at UWM, and almost universally they were sad to see him go, and I think the last week there's been some intense press, and he's handled it well, similar to Wojciechowski. I think given the last two coaches we had, I'm not gonna get swept away by words, but Wojciechowski and Lovell both impressed, or at least aced the press conferences they had. The other thing to kind of mention is, and I heard some rumblings from a few Marquette folks about, well, why did, we rush to hire a president just so we could get a coach? I think that the thing that people have to understand was going on behind the scenes is Lovell was already selected as the president. They just weren't going to announce it for another month or two. And then when this happened, they decided, well, we need to make sure we have stability up at the top. So all they did was they moved up the announcement of the president. They didn't, it's not like they went, holy crap, we got to find a president. Well, there's a guy over here at UW-Milwaukee right up the road. It'll be easy. Let's go hire him.
Yeah, this was not rushed, is your point. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was the end of a long process. They were just holding off the announcement, and the coaching thing just kind of moved it up. But happy to have him on board. Happy to have Coach Wojo on board. Hopefully it's good things for Marquette basketball. in the future.
Yep, and Bill Cords, also as part of this, Cords will stay on as the interim AD for another year. So
yeah, he did mention that. So,
we'll see what next year we'll get to have a new athletic director, and we'll see how that goes. That's been an experience the last handful of years here at Marquette.
Finally, we would be remiss, by the way, if we didn't congratulate and thank Bill Cords for hiring, for his loyalty to Marquette and sticking around when they really needed an athletic director, for staying on as interim AD and making this hire. He has a great track record with hiring coaches in the past, and hopefully this is another one.
Yep, I agree.
Yep, so we appreciate him. And again, we thank you all for listening, and thank you for being with us here on Scrambled Eggs. As always, you can hit us up on Twitter. I am Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23. Of course, our team Twitter would be Crack Sidewalks. You can find our blogs posted on Crack Sidewalks, or our podcast, I should say, and our blogs posted on cracksidewalks.com. And of course, the podcasts are always downloadable on iTunes. Final thoughts here, Phil, before we get out of here?
I'm just looking forward to a quiet April. Now that we, got a coach in place and a president, I think we should all take a break and just relax a little bit.
It's all only up from here. Hopefully nothing but good news from here on out. Now, we know there'll probably be some bad news with some recruits leaving, but hopefully mostly positive news with Coach Wojo going forward. But again, beyond that, we hope your April is seashells and balloons.